Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio. It's December 16th, 2021, and we appreciate you being here with us today, or perhaps you're listening on the archives, and we know a lot of people do that. It's the nature of podcasting. Very convenient, I might add. So if you are, okay, it's December 16th. We appreciate it. We archive everything over at ace-ed.org. ACE-ED.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And all our podcasts are there. Our magazine, Equity and Access, is there. It's an online journal. You'll really enjoy it if you take the time to go over there and check it out. And also, you can link to our newest website, which is SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning. Everything's at ace-ed.org. We just redid the website. It looks pretty cool, and I hope you enjoy it. Go over there, check it out. We got a nice show. John Ciambori is back here. John is a senior education consultant. He is an excellent trainer. He's trained 500 national and international educators, 500 plus, excuse me, 10,000 students that they work with, et cetera, on best-in-class curriculum, assessment, and instruction practices. And he has brought with him Kaya Smith. Kaya is the peer collaborative teacher at Urban Action Academy at the New York City Department of Education. We'll find out what all this is in just a moment. So let me welcome my guest. Well, ladies first. Good morning, Kaya. How are you?
Good morning.
Larry here. You there?
Yeah.
Kaya?
Can you hear me?
I can now. Okay. You doing okay? How's the weather down in New York? New York.
Actually, it's a pretty nice day to be December in New York.
But hopefully you'll get a little bit of snow, just a little bit, to make it a white Christmas. Okay?
Yeah, that would be really nice. It'll make it feel
that
like
would
Christmas.
Be nice. Without a lot of aggravation, we don't want a New York blizzard. That's for darn sure. Okay? And you'll tell us about Urban Action Academy in just a second. I want to bring John on. Good morning, John. Welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. We're going to talk, by the way, everybody, about co-teaching. The co-teaching classroom and how it increases student equity. We are the American Consortium for Equity in Education, so I'd love that. And John, just tell people are going to listen to the show, but just tell people how to get in touch with you right at the top of the show here, just so we know.
Sure. So they can find both me and Kaya on LinkedIn. So we both have LinkedIn profiles. Mine is John Ciambori, EZD, and Kia's, I think, is Kaya Smith. So that's the best way to reach either of us.
Kaya, do you want people to get in touch with you? He just gave away your secret address there.
Nope, that's perfect. That's the best way to get into contact with me.
Cool. And, John, tell everybody exactly. I did a botched-up job of telling everybody how good you are at what you do. Tell everybody what you do.
No, you didn't, Larry. It was great. So I am an educational consultant, and what that means is I will often go into schools, work with individual teachers on improving their practice, and depending on the contract, I may even do leadership coaching work with the school leader because
cool.
Really important, exactly, because if you do any kind of a change in a class, a positive change, if you want to replicate that across the building, you have to have that leadership support.
Yes,
so,
you do.
So that's what I do. And then how I know Kaya is because she is an amazing instructional coach at Urban Action Academy, which is one of the schools that I work with. So she's been my right-hand partner in not only improving instruction at that school, but again, replicating best practices across the campus.
Cool. Good enough. Kaya, tell everybody what you do. Define Urban Action Academy. What is that within New York City's Department of Education? Where you're peer collaborative teacher. I like all the titles, but tell everybody what they are. Kaya.
So Urban Action Academy is a small school on a campus in Canarsie, Brooklyn, New York, where it's a really close-knit school, so we have about 175 students.
Oh, nice.
What a peer collaborative teacher is, it's a fancy name for instruction coach or what we used to call a lead teacher. So I support teachers in developing their practices in the classroom. I'm often modeling how to do different teacher strategies, different teacher moves with teachers. I also, along with John, sometimes we co-facilitate professional development for teachers around the different areas of just teacher growth in general. And
nice.
I'm also the special education coordinator here, so I go a lot with the special education department.
And I want you to know, since you're the special education teacher, you are going to heaven. They go to heaven. I hope you know that.
Thank you.
They absolutely go to heaven. They have the patience of saints. They might as well go to heaven. They're pretty special people, I got to tell you. That's why they're called special ed people, because they are so special as well. All right. And one thing I don't understand, it's an Urban Action Academy is a public school. Okay, and just tell me, what grades is it, and what qualifies a student to go there as opposed to PS 138 or something?
So we are a high school. We are grades 9 through 12. We serve as both general education and special education. We have an open enrollment. We do get a lot of students from the community that come to Urban Action Academy, but we do have open enrollment. So just as they apply to any of a high school, students apply to school.
Thank you. That explains a lot about it. I appreciate it. So, John, you wanted to structure this conversation today about co-teaching, all right? And tell everybody, a good friend of mine is an ex-education professor here at the University of Southern Maine, and when I said I'm going to do a show on co-teaching, he said, well, how do they define that? Okay? So I'm going to ask you that. There must be a million ways to define it. And how do you define co-teaching? Go ahead, John.
Sure. Well, I think what we could do is take a very quick step back in terms of why co-teaching. Because, and you might recall, Larry, when we talked last time, we talked about culturally relevant pedagogy as being a way to hook students into their own background, their own learning. It was a great strategy to help develop equity. So that all students feel vested and heard. And from that conversation, I know we started getting on to an important tangent, but one that we didn't have time to explore, which is co-teaching models as a way to, again, promote equity and inclusion in learning. So that's the background. But to answer your specific question, what is it? It's basically, there are six different models, if you will, of how usually two, sometimes more, teachers could be co-teaching in a classroom at the same time. And again, we can go into some of the different models, but ultimately the purpose of that, again, is to ensure that every student has the support they need to meet highly rigorous learning standards.
How many kids, I have to ask you this, how many students would be in a classroom where there are four teachers teaching, or five, whatever number you want to pick?
Sure. Four is pretty unusual, although I have seen it. I have seen three in a classroom. Usually, if we're talking
I thought you said up to six. That's why I tapped it down a bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I?
I think you did. I may have misunderstood.
I know what it is. Yes. So there are up to six different co-teaching models.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I thought you meant that there were six teachers in the room. I'm thinking, how do you do this? Thank you.
And I apologize, Larry.
No.
I'll clarify. What I meant was there are six defined strategies, and Kia later can go into some of those with me, in terms of how you can co-teach. I would say in terms of the numbers of teachers co-teaching at any one time in a room, like I said, I would say the majority of times you're going to see two teachers co-teaching together.
That's what I was thinking,
Exactly.
Traditionally, we'll have the two teachers and want to be licensed special education, want to be licensed general education. I've seen it done with two general education, but there's definitely at least two licensed teachers in the classroom.
Cool. Thanks, Kaya. Thank you. Okay, so you've got two teachers in there, that would seem to make sense to me. Both of you, that seems to make sense to me as well. So what? I want to go back then to talk about, if you can, articulate six strategies. I'm hanging on to number six, John and Kaya. Okay.
All right, great.
Go ahead, John.
Oh, go ahead.
Six.
I'm sorry.
Or you. I'm going to say, John, what are the six? And you can do it, or Kaya can do it. You tell her what you want to do.
How about, Kia, how about we take turns? I'll do one, you do one.
Sure, no problem.
All right, you go first.
You want me to? You got it, John.
Go ahead, Kia.
Okay, so I'll start with one that we often see a lot that we kind of shouldn't see as often as we do, but it's called a one teach, one assist. So you have a teacher who guides the lesson while the other teacher responds to behavior issues in the class. They may answer some questions. They provide other assistance to students who may need just a little bit of deeper support. And that's something that we tend to see a lot that we actually shouldn't see as much. And the reason why is when you do this one teach, one assist, it almost eliminates the purpose of having two instructors in the classes. One kind of falls to the side and becomes that assistant. So it does work, and depending on what you're doing and if you plan for it correctly, but it's not something that we should see as often as we've been seeing in the classroom.
Okay, Kia, thank you. By the way, I was pronouncing your name wrong before. I was saying Kaya, so it's Kia, everybody, Kia Smith. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to it. It happens all the time.
Yeah,
but it is...
No matter how you say it, it's a pretty name, Kaya, Kia, but it is Kia. Okay, John, which I can pronounce.
Yeah, so Kia is exactly right. We do overplay the one teach, one assist. What's really critical there that Kia was getting at is the need for pre-planning. You can do one teach, one assist effectively, but again, there has to be that pre-planning. Both teachers have to have access to the materials that are eventually going to be given to students, because if that's not done, then that second teacher does become what we like to often call as a glorified paraprofessional and a very well-paid.
That's what I was thinking.
Paraprofessional, exactly. So I mean, we're not saying, I don't think he and I are saying that it's not useful and it's not important as a strategy, but some of these other strategies are probably going to be more effective in the long run if you are looking at establishing an equitable learning community for your students. So I would add the next one as being, well, we can go in any direction really, but I'll talk about parallel teaching. So in lieu of one teach, one assist, you could use a model where one teacher is teaching, say, 15 of the students, and the other teacher is teaching that same content to the 15 other students, all in the classroom at the same time. And
what's
so
the purpose of that? Wait a minute, what would be the purpose of that?
Sure. So the purpose of that could be several. So one, it breaks down the number of students that any one teacher is working with. So then it takes a ratio, let's say, of 1 to 25 or 1 to 30 and turns it into a ratio of 1 to 15 or 1 to 10. And so that's really going to be a benefit, hopefully, to students, because they're going to get more of that individualized attention in the moment. Again, speaking to that equity factor that we talked about. So that's one positive of doing that. The other positive, as long as it, again, is not overdone, is you can separate your groups by need. So one teacher could be, for example, working with the L population or SPED, and the other teacher could be working with the general education learners. But I do caution that you don't want to overdo that, because you do want also opportunities for your L students, your English language learners, and your SPED students to learn collaboratively with general education students. So you don't want to specifically pull out your special needs students all the time to be working separately with one teacher.
Right.
You can
right.
do that occasionally if you find that there is an extra need that those students have, but you can equally bring those students and divide those students up among the two teachers as long as you have scaffolds and supports for those students. And then again, the real main purpose is having that smaller number of students so you can give the one-on-one attention.
Go ahead, Kia.
Also, I think it's very important when thinking about the parallel teaching that we remember that both teachers are actually teaching the same content at that time. They're just doing it in smaller groups. So it's not as if one teacher is teaching one thing and another teacher is teaching something
right.
else. So it gives
right.
The
so the kids are at the same place when all said and done, just taught by two
at
different
the end,
teachers, giving a little, give it a little more individual attention. It makes sense. So all right, we've done two of six. These two sound pretty good, so what could number 3 through 6 be? Let's do 3. Kia, you want to do it? Pick
sure,
another
so
one.
So I'm going to, because John just did parallel, I'm going to jump into alternative teaching.
Yeah, and by the way, don't let John pick the easy ones. You pick the easy ones.
So alternative teaching is sometimes confused with parallel teaching. Alternative teaching requires the teacher to do two separate groups as well. However, usually it's a pull-out session. So one teacher may pull out a smaller group of students, and they're kind of reviewing skills, right? So maybe there's a gap. Maybe a student missed some of the those students missed the content. Or maybe they just need some reteaching of
mm-hmm.
that content that was taught. When you're pulling them away from that whole group to give them that more intense content and instruction. So sometimes we confuse the two, and it shouldn't be parallel. It's the same exact thing the teacher is teaching. And alternative, they may be teaching two different things to make sure that students are caught up with the rest of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's extremely important. Now, a disadvantage for alternative.
Go ahead, Chief. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go
a disadvantage for alternative is that you're taking them away from that larger group, right? And oftentimes what happens is the students in that smaller group that you're pulling are one of the subgroups. So it ends up being either the EML students or the SPED students, and that takes away from the purpose of having them in a general education curriculum. So that's another one that we shouldn't see as often. However, it is beneficial when we need to reteach a skill or reteach some information to the students in the classroom.
It's interesting. John, give me another one. Then I have a question.
Yeah, actually, how about Kia? You give one more, and then I'll finish up. I think we have how many more?
Perfect.
Three,
I'm going to go to my favorite, which is station teaching.
Is
right?
What?
So
say it again.
It's called station teaching.
Station teachers. Okay. Yep.
So this is a way where you utilize grouping to access the different academic content, right? So you may have three groups. Traditionally, there will be three groups if you have two teachers. And each teacher will facilitate one group, and then you'll have a group that's independent. So the students will rotate from one station to the next throughout the class, and they engage in different activities. The important thing to remember, though, when you're doing station teaching is that one station shouldn't be dependent on the other station, because students are always
mm-hmm.
going to start at different points. So the first station, you shouldn't need to have to go to the first station to be able to do the second station, if that makes sense.
It
right?
does.
They need to be independent of each other. And there's always going to be a independent station, and it has to be very well planned because you're releasing the students when they go into that station, right? They're not going to have a teacher there to facilitate. So you have to make sure that you're really planning and you're giving the students things that you're sure that they're going to be able to kind of attack as a group and kind of think through together. So that's one of my favorite teacher models. I think it forces engagement. It builds
yeah, it does.
Students. It builds their confidence as well, where they're kind of in charge of their own learning when they go to this independent group. So I'm a fan of station teaching.
We have Kia's favorite. That's good. I like it. Okay, John, you want to do another one? Wait, I'm going to stop you for 1 second. I have a question, okay, which is on my mind. I obviously, and I think it is pretty obvious, this is a good way to teach. Okay, it's I'll just get down to the nitty-gritty. It's probably more fun for the teachers, okay? And it seems to be very engaging to the kids, okay? And it probably works pretty darn well. I have a question, though. And John, you work with administrators of schools. And let's face it, there are economic challenges with all this, okay? I'm curious, as you speak to administrators who would be the ones that have to implement this, okay, about co-teaching, can they afford to do it? Is there an economic challenge to this? You know, take the 30 kids that one teacher would have and make it two teachers. Okay, so each is teaching 15, and it's hard these days. A, it's hard to find teachers, and B, it's hard to pay for them. So where are we on that, John? Believe me, you must have had that question from administrators.
Definitely. And again, yes, budget is an important consideration. Yes. In the world that we're in now, it is hard to find teachers. You know, you can. There are different ways to finance it. Often, what will happen is, let's say, you know, it depends on your enrollment, and let's say you have these two teachers, right? One, especially if one is a special educator, they might be hired as the special educator on a different line item than, say, the general ed teacher. So that's one way they can fund it, through title supports, especially, again, if one teacher is a special educator and the other teachers are general educators. So that's one way that they fund it, because often the funding comes from two different lines, if that makes any kind of sense.
It does make sense. Absolutely, it makes sense. I was just curious about that as I was listening to it, okay, because it sounds good, and I'm sure it works well, okay, but I was just concerned about that particular thing. And I want to ask Kia something. Kia, how do teachers react to this? When you talk to them about co-teaching, because teachers can be, if I may, they want to be dominant in their own classroom, so to speak. They like to be in charge, and I don't blame them for that. That's not a derogatory statement.
Now
you're
asking them,
and you're asking them to do what we ask kids to do, which is share their good feelings and all that and make it work. What's the feeling of teachers when you go in and talk about this? Kia?
What I've found with teachers is that you have to set them up for this, right? So it's not something you're going to just throw two teachers into a classroom. You have
right.
to, one, support them and encourage them to kind of develop this collaborative partnership where they're on the same page, right? So they meet and give them, as an administrator or even with myself as a coach, you give them that time and that opportunity where they can sit and actually plan together, right? You make it so that they can own the class, but, again, as a partnership. And I find that if you do that early in the school year, when we first come in, those days before those students come into the classroom, you give them that time to kind of learn each other and start developing, you get a bigger buy-in from the teachers. Also, when you have a special education teacher with a general ed teacher, the general ed teacher is a little bit more, I guess, receptive, because they understand that you can deal with that population, right, a little bit better than if they were left by themselves to deal with that population. So I think it's more of that, one, making sure you're encouraging the teachers and you're providing them that time to be able to plan together, and two is that you make sure that you're supporting them. As long, I've always found that teachers, as territorial as we are,
territorial.
You like that word, right?
Yeah, I do.
We're willing to take support if we can see that it's going to give us some type of growth and impact in our classroom. So.
Yeah, this is so interesting. And, John, I want to ask two questions to you, and you can pass them back and forth to Kia. Okay, we wanted to talk about how this is better for student equity, but I wanted to ask you one thing that popped into my mind is scheduling. Administrators are responsible for creating a roster, okay, a schedule of the day. And does this affect the way we create the scheduling, the day scheduling for educators?
Yes,
has that
definitely.
Popped up? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, for example, per what we were talking about before, whereas maybe traditionally you might pull students out to be working with the ELL teacher or the special education teacher, which still does happen in their schedule, what you can do is also have, you know, the special educator push in. So what you would do is you would look at the schedule of the specialist educator and figure out, all right, on their schedule, which classes are kids going to come to you and which classes are you going to go in and co-teach with the teacher? So, yes, it definitely is a shift on the model. Again, it's about minimizing those times you have to pull the students out for services so they're not always separated from general education learners. So, yes, Larry, it definitely affects how you put your schedule together and also the philosophy of how we support our extraordinary students.
I love that. I love that. That's so important, the pedagogy, the philosophical pedagogy behind it or pedagogical philosophy behind it, however you want to say that. And just talk to me for a few minutes, touch on this because we're always interested in this, is equity. Talk about the equity side of this for the kids.
Sure. Again, by reducing the numbers of students working with any one teacher, by having that special educator in the room with the general educator to be providing supports even to the teacher, teaching the teacher, well, you can use these scaffolds, you can use these materials to not dumb down the learning objective for special needs students, but to ensure that they can meet those same high rigorous learning standards that you want all your students to achieve. And in fact, Larry, that is the last of the six strategies, which is, you know, one teach, one observe. So, you know, the general education teacher could be even looking at what supports the special educator is using with students, because let's face it, they're not always going to be co-teaching. And even general education learners can benefit from certain scaffolds and supports in meeting, again, those high-level standards. So those are ways that you're really ensuring equity, the equity in learning opportunity, basically, for all of your students. And again,
I think it's all about the access, right? So when you have these co-teaching classes, you're providing the general education, I mean, the special education students that access to the general education curriculum. Oftentimes in high school and middle school, the special educator is not a content specialist, right? So if we have these sitting in these smaller classes with a special ed teacher, they're not with a content specialist. So are they really getting their the maximized access to the general ed curriculum? And when they're with, if you put them in a cohort class, right, now they have that content specialist who can give them that access to that general education curriculum while they're still receiving the support they may need to accommodate them with the disabilities that they are, that they have. So I think that that's a big part of why co-teaching is beneficial.
Kia hit the nail on the head. And really, to your question before about equity, we talked about how it provides that equity ultimately for the student because they're getting the best in instruction content-wise and in terms of special needs support. So it is a win-win for the students. And again, it's a win for both teachers because hopefully both teachers are learning from one another on best practices.
And we're also eliminating that stigma of special education. And you guys have been around for a while, right? So you know that there was a huge stigma with the special education. And
And
having them now in the same setting as their peers who don't have disabilities, it's starting to release that stigma, where they are able to achieve the same goals. They may need a couple more steps, right? And that's where the special ed teacher is going to come in and be able to provide and kind of model those strategies for that general education teacher. But those students are not going to be lost in the curriculum because they're going to, again, have that those accommodations, have those modifications while sitting in this general education setting. So I think that to me is one reason why as a special educator I enjoy co-teaching, because I know what that stigma is, right? 15 years I've been teaching, and I've done the self-contained classes. I've done the kind of what I felt was like that isolation of teaching for special education students, and this allows them to participate with their peers that don't have disabilities and see that they can still accomplish the same goals.
Well said. Well said, Kia. And, you know, I'll say it also, if I may, I want to say this the right way. It increases, it takes a lot of pressure off the special ed teacher. It makes their world, which is a tough world, it makes it easier, okay? And it allows them to put their kids somewhere, again, like you said, into the mainstream. And they're sitting there, and it's really helpful to those teachers. I think there's a lot to be said for this. John, we got to wind down, but where are people? Where can they go? Can they go to you for more resources? Where do you find is the best place to learn about this and kind of push this
sure.
to administration, et cetera? Where?
Sure. Well, I learned a few good resources from Kia as well. So I'm going to ask
you
to turn this question.
Again, I'm a special educator, so I've done a lot
yes,
of
you
research.
Are.
One of my go-to people is Marilyn Friend. She's done a lot with co-teaching from when it used to be called collaborative co-teaching, and they've
yeah.
changed the acronym, right? But she has a website. It's called co-teach.com. And there's a variety of resources. There's videos to demonstrate the different type of the six different models. There's even things like contracts that teachers can start to look at to develop the partnership between the two educators that are going to be in the classroom. So I think she's a great resource. And, again, the website is co-teach.com.
C-O-T-E-A-C-H, co-teach.com. I just put it under the
description
here.
It's called the Co-Teaching Connection. That's the name of her organization.
Cool. I think this is very important. Thank you for that little tip. We got to go. Both of you were great. Merry Christmas, John. Merry Christmas, Kia.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, go ahead, Kia.
I want Kia to take a sleigh ride to school before this Christmas comes. Okay. No
it's
blizzard.
Right down the Brooklyn nope. streets. I'll take a sleigh
yeah,
ride.
No blizzard. Get yourself a sleigh. Both of you, thank you. And go have a great holiday. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, everybody. Kia Smith, she's an incredible special ed teacher, peer collaborative teacher, Urban Action Academy of New York City Department of Education, NYC School. All right, my buddy John Ciambari, who is obviously an educational trainer and is well worth knowing. That's Ciambari. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.